We continue now with our NPR News investigation, Going Radical, following the transformation of a quiet young Nigerian student into a would-be suicide bomber who allegedly failed to blow up a U.S. passenger jet bound for Detroit on Christmas Day. Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab's journey took him to Yemen, where he was drawn to Arabic studies. There he may also have come under radical influences such as the U.S.-born cleric Anwar al-Awlaki, who's been linked to both the Fort Hood shootings and the Christmas Day attack. NPR's Peter Kenyon traveled to Yemen and has this report.
Nearly 5 years before he boarded Northwest Flight 253 from Amsterdam, bound for Detroit, Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab found relief for his self-described loneliness on the Internet. For 2 years, beginning in January 2005, intelligence officials say he posted to a chat site called Islamic Forum under the name Farouk 1986. In February 2005, he contributed to a thread about fantasies. But instead of posting revelations about sexual desires, the quiet young Nigerian confessed instead to secret visions of a global conflict that ends with Islam as the world's dominant religion. Here, an actor reads from Abdulmutallab's web posting.
Basically, they are jihad fantasies. I imagine how the great jihad will take place, how the Muslims will win, inshallah, and rule the whole world.
One of the replies Abdulmutallab received now seems chilling in its prescience. Brother Farouk, wrote one respondent, would you consider yours fantastical dreams or plans?
وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ.
By June of 2005, Abdulmutallab had arrived in Yemen, a poor, barely governed country with a growing hardline Islamist influence that spread from neighboring Saudi Arabia. Western and Yemeni officials don't seem to have a lot of information about Abdulmutallab's first visit to Yemen, but sources tell NPR that the seeds of his radicalization were sprouting during his first visit to the country. A Western diplomat says, quote, I think he was germinating when he was here in 2005, adding that he probably became more full-blown in London after that. On the outskirts of Sana'a sits Iman University, which has been training Sunni religious scholars since 1995. The school has drawn suspicion in the West as a place that has inspired violent radicals or their supporters. The man known as the American Taliban, John Walker Lind, studied here. The head of this school, the conservative and very popular Sheikh Abdulmajid al-Zindani, has been listed as a supporter of terrorism by the UN Security Council and the U.S. Treasury Department. School officials say they're being unfairly demonized over a few isolated examples, and they insist Omar Farouk Abdulmutallab is not one of them. Al-Iman political science professor Ismail Soheili denies that Abdulmutallab was ever at the university. But he uses more careful language when asked about the radical cleric Anwar al-Awlaki, who claims to have mentored the Fort Hood shooter and Abdulmutallab. Soheili says Awlaki was never on the teaching staff here. When pressed about claims that Awlaki lectured here in 2005, however, Soheili says he can't rule out the possibility.
Maybe he has attended the mosque of the university. It's open to the public, and anyone who says he's an Islamic preacher and would like to preach on some topic, he is allowed.
Others, however, say Awlaki definitely did spread his message of jihad or Islamic holy war at Al-Iman. Saeed Obaid Al-Jamhi has studied radical Islam and is the author of a book on Al-Qaeda in Yemen.
I can't confirm any relationship between Omar Farouk and Anwar al-Awlaki in 2005, but it is true that Awlaki lectured that year at Al-Iman University. And of course, school leaders denied that because they know the Americans are looking for evidence that the school was involved with terrorist groups.
Awlaki told a Yemeni journalist that he had contact with Abdulmutallab and supported his failed airliner attack. U.S. and Yemeni officials say the two probably met in the Yemeni countryside last fall, before the Nigerian set off on his potentially deadly mission. Abdulmutallab spent time on both his visits to Yemen here, at the Sana'a Institute for the Arabic Language, on the edge of the capital's bustling and beautiful old city. A number of media accounts place Abdulmutallab in Yemen from the fall of 2004, but the Nigerian's own web postings claim he didn't arrive in Yemen until June of 2005. The school's records include a photocopy of Abdulmutallab's entry visa, dated June 10, 2005. Institute Director Mohammed Al-Anasi recalls a quiet, devout young man who studied with remarkable focus and discipline. Anasi says Abdulmutallab left the school speaking Arabic at an intermediate to advanced level. Then he heard nothing more of the young man until the summer of 2009, when Abdulmutallab sent an email saying he was in Dubai and needed a one-month refresher course.
So we helped him. We got him an entry visa. His passport showed that he had a multiple visa in the USA, and also it showed that he also was in England for 4 years. So they felt it is okay to bring this guy.
Abdulmutallab was put in the school's most advanced class, but was clearly ahead of the other students. At the time, Anasi says he had no reason to doubt the student's sincerity, but with the benefit of hindsight, he can't help feeling that the school was simply a means to get back into Yemen.
I think he needed the school to have a break, to have a nice time before dying, maybe. Because I think he loved Yemen. He liked Yemen very much. And he lied to us and he deceived us.
Abdulmutallab continued deceiving Anasi, who believed the Nigerian left Yemen on September 21st of last year. But Canadian student Matthew Salmon, a housemate of Abdulmutallab's, says the Nigerian stayed in student housing well into early October without attending classes. Salmon was a student of religion, so the topic came up frequently when they talked.
Yeah, we actually talked about religion quite often, but it was always very short periods of time because one of us had to go somewhere. But whenever we talk about it, it was more about, for him, it was how it's made his life better, how he's happier because of it, how he doesn't have the same struggles that he had before he took it seriously.
Salmon says when he first heard of the attempted airliner attack on Christmas Day, he didn't know who the suspect was.
When I found out it was Omar, I was slightly devastated. I felt fear just because we had lived with him and that he was willing to do this. I was incredibly disappointed with the lack of respect for life and for family and for the faith that he professed to like.
Accounts of Abdulmutallab's journey still contain several gaps. The most crucial gap includes the final 3 months of his time in Yemen last year, when investigators say he was trained and armed by al-Qaeda operatives in the remote country southeast of the capital. As Yemeni officials put it, U.S. investigators already have the black box for this information, Abdulmutallab himself, in custody and awaiting trial in the U.S. Peter Kenyon, NPR News.
Later today on All Things Considered, we continue our NPR News investigation with a closer look at the radical cleric Anwar al-Awlaki. You'll find more on the NPR News investigation of Abdulmutallab at NPR.org. That includes a detailed timeline of his life in the years leading up to the Christmas Day attack.